And we're back. Welcome back, everyone. We've got another guest on today. I've got one of the founders from Pepperdex. Pepperdex is kind of like the title would be like a Perpstex on Solana, but I think it's a little bit more than just a Perpstex. We'll get into the detail of that. Paprika Inferno, welcome to our Blockmates podcast. It's great to have you on. Well. Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Just kind of jumping straight into it. Obviously, you guys have been frantically building. You guys are part of the Hero Network. We've obviously covered a lot of what Hero's been doing over the last few years. And you guys kind of like slotted right in. And a lot of changes happened along the way. You kind of started out with one idea and things have kind of like evolved and progressed to the point where you guys are at now. So just a brief intro in terms of what you guys are doing, about yourself, and you know what your speciality is and where you've come from.
So we're trying to build the spiciest decks on Solana with the help of Hero. You mentioned that it kind of started as one thing and built, and now it's a much larger thing. And what you're kind of mentioning there, I think, is our partnership with SpedX. So basically, we were starting out as a Perpstex on Hero, and SpedX was a separate Perpstex on Hero. And we loved the tech that they were building, and they loved the branding and token design that we had done. So we decided to join forces and now are a much more powerful DEX and are building a much larger scope project. So what that entails is a front end for the Dexterity protocol, which is Hero's leveraged futures protocol. And that allows projects to come and plug into it and access a global order book where all projects are sharing the same liquidity, which means that you're not fighting with other projects for liquidity in the space. So that's why we chose Hero, because it's a plug and play liquidity out of the gates, which is very hard. Liquidity is very hard to build out of the gates for a lot of perpetual futures exchanges. And it makes it very difficult to have users if you don't have the liquidity, right? So that's why Hero is the best choice. And Solana is the best choice for its speed and its throughput. It's hard to be competitive in the futures trading industry if you can't execute trades very quickly, especially for the veteran traders out there. Like, you'll hear in traditional markets, they'll actually try to get the office next to the broker so that their trades will go through like a split second earlier. Yeah. Solana is offering that competitive advantage, but tenfold in the crypto space, right? So that's why we're powered by Solana and Hero, powered by Pith as an oracle as well, because their data is the best in the space. They have confidence ratings to come with their data. So for those reasons, we've made those partnerships. But let me get a little bit more into what Pepperdex is building that isn't available elsewhere on Solana or anywhere else in the space for that matter. So some of the things that SpedX had been working on previously that we definitely brought our attention to their protocol was the trading vaults, which offers a lot of optionality for developers. So there's another layer to the DEX that goes beyond just traders, and that's algo traders. So you can come to Pepperdex and you can build your own algorithms, and then you can put them as a vault on the DEX, and you can allow other people to deposit into them. So let's say I create a simple trading algorithm and I test it for a while, and I'm able to kind of build some statistics that show that it's profitable over time, then there's a marketplace for all of the vaults that have been built by those algo traders. And I, as a user, even if I don't know how to do any algo trading, can search through all those vaults and pick the ones that I think are good for my risk parameters and satisfy like my expected gains. So it's much more than a DEX now, right? We've kind of evolved to include other sections of the market.
So, I mean, the whole vaults thing was quite almost like, I wouldn't say popular, but it was something that quite a few protocols were working on, I think on Arbitrum and on Ethereum. And it almost seems like, you know, it's taken a little bit of a backseat, even though there is tremendous value around those strategies. How are you guys planning to almost make the product appealing from a user perspective? So if I'm trading on Perps, for example, because that's obviously like a 2 + 2 = 4 product, right? I mean, you know what you're getting yourself into. I think a lot of people are going to be attracted to what it is that you guys are doing straight off the bat with kind of like your primary product, is the way that I imagine it. But how do you then direct users to those strategies, irrespective of whether they're like really good and really profitable? Is there like a strategy that you guys would put in place to attract users, or is it kind of like,
yeah, for sure. So we're launching with, there's going to be 3 protocol owned and managed vaults, and those aren't going to take a fee from the users. So basically free to participate in these vaults. That's the arbitrage, the liquidations, and the market making vaults. And those are very high volume strategies, right? So they tend to be very consistent and low risk. So easy to kind of participate in if you're not a trader. But at the same time, you're putting a bunch of volume through the exchange when you participate in those strategies. And then for those of you who don't know, there's a bunch of volume incentives that are offered both on the Hero Network and on the PepperDex exchange. So by going through PepperDex and going through the trading vaults, you're gaining those stacked rewards from both the Hero Network and from PepperDex. So it's like if you don't have a lot of trading knowledge and you still are attracted to the incentives that we're offering, that's a very good entry level way for you to come in and just deposit money into the vault and allow it to earn those incentives for you, as well as whatever the vault yield is. So I think, that will get people to kind of start using the vaults just as an idea and get familiar with how the vaults work. And then I think the hope is that people get more imaginative and want to kind of generate their own strategies and try to outperform whatever strategies are already being offered there.
Okay. So, I mean, that's very much like, so starting at the top, it's the perp sticks. We all know what a perp sticks looks like. We know what the functionality of a perp sticks plans to achieve. It is about liquidity. Like you said, you know, you need access to coin in order to be able to trade effectively, efficiently, and like we know, you know, Solana is really good from that perspective in terms of transaction speed and cost. I mean, I can't imagine trying to run a perp sticks on mainnet at the moment on ETH.
Yeah,
you know, when you've got like $50 to $200 gas charges, I don't think it's sustainable, you know, unless you're obviously trading really big volume. So, I mean, I think that's a tremendous value add from the Solana side of things. I wanted to just step back, kind of like seek out your opinion on, you know, the narrative up until now, especially like at the beginning of this bull market, has been about, you know, meme coins and shit coins and like Solana's volume to a huge extent, or rather the attention to a huge extent, has been around those markets. And I wanted to, there's 2 parts to this question. The first part is, what do you think it's going to take for Solana to kind of like step outside of that kind of silliness? I mean, it's fun and everything, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of silliness that's associated with that. Mm-hmm. And when I look at something like PepperDex, even though you guys have got a like almost like a really playful branding, and you know, with the spicy and the rest of it, in essence, it's a very serious product. You know, you guys have thought really long and hard about perps, vaults. There's other aspects to this as well that I want to get into, which ties in obviously the degen side of things. But what do you think it's going to take for Solana to kind of like step into the light of something that's a little bit more serious, that lends itself more to the kind of stuff that you guys are doing?
Yeah, well, I have a couple answers kind of to the question. I think the meme-y side of things is actually very effective in this space. And the first example that comes to mind is like the Binance Smart Chain from the last cycle. I kind of see Solana as the Binance Smart Chain of this cycle so far. Now, I think the Binance Smart Chain very easily could have progressed to be more serious, and it still might. The trouble it's having now is kind of more around centralization and all the FUD related to Binance now. I think that Solana will kind of naturally find itself in a more serious light as projects just go to build on it. Like us, for example, are going to build there just simply because it is the best chain to do business on. I think that Solana is going to end up being like the user facing chain. So they have like the Solana phone now, right? That's a very easy way to get more serious and offer more serious products without people even knowing that they're really participating in the Solana chain, right? Like you have a user-facing app and you just go to it, and let's say it's like a SocialFi app. You download it like it's Instagram. And as far as the user is concerned, it's not even the blockchain, right? It just looks like you're on Instagram. So I think that Solana is going to be really good at just having like seamless integration with Web2 seeming apps. And we kind of want to offer that sort of experience as well in the future. Like if we can get mobile optimized, then it could just be like you're depositing into like an app like Wealthsimple or Robinhood. And then you won't even know that Solana, that you're going through Solana basically.
Yeah.
But I think the meme-iness is a very good way to start out. Like that's honestly what attracts attention in the space. And it's kind of like the free marketing that you get through crypto, because that's what you see like blowing up on Twitter is like the meme coins and everything of that sort. So to come back to our branding, I guess that's kind of our approach, is like it's very fun and silly and easy to engage with from a meme perspective. And then that will kind of do a lot of the marketing for us. And then you'll kind of realize more of the serious products that are offered, and you'll get the more serious audiences through those products.
I completely agree. And I think it's one of the things that I really enjoy kind of like about what you guys have done is that you've almost incorporated that duality, you know, like there is the silliness and the meme-ness, but then there's also, you know, the seriousness around the product. And, you know, we've spoken about kind of like the Perps Dex itself, liquidity and the flow around that, vaults, and, you know, allowing for passive investment and strategies around that, regardless of what that might look like. And then there's obviously the degen aspect, chapter three of what, you know, Pepper Dex is doing, which ties in perfectly with kind of like this, like the story that you guys have, and that is like accommodating the degens within the context of, you know, the memes and the shitcoins and all the craziness that goes with that. Please tell us about what it is that you guys have got cooking there.
Yeah, for sure. So the nice thing about Hero is that it allows you to separate things into different risk groups. So I can come to PepperDex and I can create two separate accounts under the same wallet. And that will allow me to kind of separate the risk of certain positions on one account with the risk of the other positions on the other account, because we do portfolio margining, which I'll get to in a little bit. But basically, you don't want to have your extremely risky investments or trades in the same account as your like low risk ones. It's just going to mess with the fact that the low risk ones are low risk, basically. Right. Yeah. So the nice thing about that is that we can offer like very degen instruments, as well as offering very low risk, kind of the way that leverage was designed to be used instruments. So I'll get into like the degen ones a little bit here. The ZDFs are going to allow for easy access to perpetuals on any meme coin in the space, basically. If the market makers are willing to make a market for a coin, then it can be listed on PepperDex very seamlessly. And that will allow users to come in and deposit and say, I want to have this high risk group and I want to trade 100x leverage on Bonk, right? So that'll really allow the degens to go nuts with all the different meme coins that are launching on Solana. And I honestly can't wait for, you know, for Twitter to get a hold of kind of what we're allowing there. Cause it's like with Rollbit, a lot of the marketing was kind of done for them because they're offering 1000x leverage. And even though 1000x leverage is a gamble, just like 100x leverage on Bonk is a gamble, and it's not really a sound investment, right? It's not a great idea. People get so attracted to it because it's a lot of fun. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you don't get liquidated. Maybe you do catch it right at the bottom and take a long and it goes on a run, right? Yeah. So you want to offer that service and then just be very clear about the risks involved with that. And then make sure that people understand that they can abstract that risk from trading spreads on, let's say, Sol and MSOL on their other trader account with high leverage and still maintain a very low risk level because those assets are so correlated.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I immediately thought of, you know, Rollbit and kind of like their formative, almost like the formative period within, you know, how they define their product. And I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned, you know, around that, because, you know, clearly their products are being used. They're generating a serious amount of income. In terms of the revenue generation that you guys have, you've spoken about obviously allowing for users to participate in vaults that you guys create, which allow them to observe, learn, and then obviously not land up paying all these fees. There's obviously revenue generation around what it is that you guys are doing as well, which is in a way kind of like further incentive around the way that PepperDex works. Can you just give us kind of like a breakdown of what that looks like across these different products?
Yeah. So are you asking about how fees are taken and then, yes, and then where they go? Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So the Hero Network does take a fee of 5 basis points. PepperDex will take another fee of 5 basis points. So it's a 10 basis point fee in total. And then the distribution of those fees is split up into 5 different avenues. So the first is just going to the PEP stakers. The second is to build up the protocol owned liquidity. The third is to buy back PEP and max stake it. So the idea there is we're giving out a lot of PEP in the form of OPEP as incentives for just coming and trying using the DEX. And then we're going to be earning a lot of that PEP back to the treasury and kind of just earning stake back in the protocol by taking some fees and buying that PEP off the market and max staking it, which also takes PEP out of circulation, which is great for any PEP holders, right? There's another 20% that goes to buying back Hero and staking that. That's 10%, and then 10% to referrals. So you can refer a friend and get 10% of the fees that they pay over time. If you don't refer somebody, or if somebody is trading without being referred, then that 10% that would go to their buddy just goes to the PEP stakers.
Okay, so there's obviously quite a lot of incentive drives here for users and participants. In terms of OPEP itself, I mean, is that an options-based approach to the way that you guys are doing this? Can you explain that to us in terms of how that works and how that incentive kind of like works within this flywheel?
Yeah, for sure. So that's the OPEP model that you're referring to. which is basically a way of separating farm and dumpers from people that are actually here to stay in the line with the protocol. And what it does is earns some revenue for the treasury and for the stakers and for all the other avenues that I just mentioned when people are claiming rewards. So you get OPEP, and it's an option to buy PEP at a discount. And that discount depends on your protocol alignment, basically. So if you want to unlock those PEP tokens right away and take them to the market and sell them, you can do that, but you only get a 15% discount. So if I have, you know, if I have 100 OPEP, I can get 100 PEP at a 15% discount, and I can go dump them right away. And that's fine. A lot of people are going to do that. There's anytime you offer incentives, you're going to get people that are just coming for the incentives, farming them and dumping them. And that's fine. Yeah. But at least those people are still paying 85% of the price of PEP, and that's going to our treasury, our stakers, et cetera, and continuing to rotate that flywheel. Now, if you are willing to align with the protocol and stake that PEP that you're claiming, and by the way, you'll start earning rewards from staking it right away. So it's like, it's not like you're waiting a long time to get the PEP and it's not being of use to you. It's going to be of use right away because you're going to start earning those protocol rewards. But let's say you stake for a year, then you're going to get a 50% discount. You pay much less and that PEP goes into staking and you start earning on it. And it increases the rate at which you earn the OPEP. So there's like a compounding mechanism there where you earn OPEP and early through the gates, like your first OPEP you earn, you're probably going to want to stake the underlying PEP for longer because that's going to get your stake weight way up and you're going to have to pay a lot less for your PEP. And then you'll increase the rate at which you earn OPEP. So there's kind of like a nice game theory to that where early adopters will want to stake for a long time. And then maybe as they get paid more and more PEP, they'll want to kind of reduce the amount of time that they're staking for and have some liquid PEP. There's like multiple ways to come at it as a earner and a staker.
Yeah, it's not just another PERP sticks, is it?
No. and the OPEP model is not a new idea. So there's OTAP from Tapioca DAO is kind of what it's inspired by. Yeah. Although we are expanding on it by offering that variable discount based on how long you want to stake the underlying PEP that you're going to receive. And I think that's kind of a key component and just a natural evolution of the model, because that's where you really separate kind of what people's intentions are, right? So like some people might be upset by it because they're saying, well, 15% discount isn't much of a discount, right? But it's like, yes. If your plan is to come and, you know, earn incentives and then sell them on the market right away, then 15% is a fair discount. You're still going to earn some money right away, but you're not going to earn nearly as much as, you know, the guy that's staking for a long time.
Yeah, I think the big challenge within, you know, the greater sphere of crypto is, you know, what is purpose does the token fulfill, you know? And it's like a lot of the time a token is essentially not required. It's kind of like it's almost like a passenger that doesn't really fulfill much of a task. But I think if you approach it, you know, around revenue sharing, around, you know, a use case scenario where it's providing value to the users and to the protocol itself, mm-hmm. then I think we are evolving as an industry. And then it's not just about the token and price go up and then technology is great. You know, I think that's where the fundamentals of this whole industry need to change. You know, like it's just simply not good enough to say that, well, the token's being put in place purely for governance. You know, I think that is...
Yeah, 99% of people don't care about governance, right?
I'd say more than that. I'd say 99.9% don't care.
Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of like, I mean, I think there is, a great game that can be played within governance. I think we saw that play out quite eloquently, and also a couple of train smashes with the whole Arbitrum, you know, governance process, and, you know, the amount of tokens that were allocated and all that kind of stuff. And I totally see how it can fulfill that political role, which is fine, you know, but I think a protocol that relies solely on a token to fulfill governance is going to land up essentially riding over a cliff. You know, and I think there needs to be more use cases and value attributed to a token. So it's great to see that you guys have obviously taken on this task. I think in many ways it is an experiment. I think it will work, but it needs to obviously run its course. You know, you guys need to be able to reflect on a lifespan of several years and say, okay, well, we did this, we earned this much, our stake has earned this much, and we still have liquidity, and we still have sustainability for the next 10 years. I think that's where the real test comes in.
Yeah, I think it'll face scrutiny. Like, I think that it will upset people that are trying to extract value from it, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I think it'll build a strong community of people that believe in the product and want to align for a long time. And then people are going to come in and say, like, what the hell? Like, you're not letting me just extract value and leave. And it's like, okay, cool. That's the point.
I mean, do you think that there is kind of like a scenario, like almost a worst case scenario, where there is like you run out of almost like a runway for sustainability? Or do you think that, I mean, I know it's a bit of a silly question, because obviously you wouldn't be doing this if you didn't think there was sustainability, but is there a worst case scenario where you kind of like the sustainability is no longer there? Is it like the depths of a bear market? I mean, how does that potentially look like?
I mean, there's just so many revenue streams that the protocol builds itself for its stakers. Like, so that's the point of buying back Hero, right? You buy back Hero and max stake it, and then you're giving all the revenue from that to your stakers, right? 100% of the Hero network revenue that Pepperdex earns is going to our stakers. And then Hero is not just building protocols for leverage trading, right? They're also building a bunch of gaming protocols, like for gambling, sports betting, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So even in a crypto bear market, where people tend to flock, actually, like if you looked at crypto Twitter over the past, maybe not the past year because now we're bullish, but the year before that, it was just a lot of people posting their sports betting, right? Yeah. So I feel like naturally the crypto bros that get bored of the crypto market in the depths of the bear are going to go to things like sports betting, and Hero is going to continue to earn revenue, which is going to continue to kick back revenue to Pepper because we've accumulated such a large position at that point. And then that's going 100% to our stakers. So there's still going to be a reason to stake your PEP, and you don't even have to sell your PEP at that point to still be cashing in, right? So that's the idea, is that you get paid in USDC from the protocol revenue, from any of the staking revenue, and you could just keep earning that passive income over time. And we'll build out the revenue streams so that even when the market is quiet, hopefully that users are still being rewarded.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. And I really think that it will be a sustainable model. And it's going to be cool to see how sustainable it will be over time. In terms, I mean, you mentioned something like quite interesting around obviously the sports betting side of things and you know, kind of like that aspect of the more degen side of things. Is there almost like a wish list that you guys would like to kind of like have on hand, or do have on hand, and does it involve sports betting or those kind of products? Do you guys afford yourselves the opportunity to do that kind of stuff within the infrastructure that you have in place?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's on the roadmap, but you never know where we might go with it, right?
I mean, you do have the right partners in terms of that aspect of things. So, you know, you've got Hero with old time traders and, you know, with Gunny and Rob and them. And they obviously do know that landscape. So, I mean, it's definitely a consideration from our side anyway. It's been really cool to see whether you guys do.
Yeah. And there's been some pretty cool feedback from the community, even just since we've launched the closed beta, which was like 5 days ago now, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I want to definitely get into that as well, because,
right,
you know, we've obviously got alpha hounds that listen to our pods. And so if anyone is listening, which I know you are, this is the part you've been waiting for. So Paprika, what's happening in terms of your roadmap currently, and more importantly around your closed beta? I know that's currently happening, recently launched a few days ago. You know, you guys are leading up to, you know, the inevitable question is when token and when TGE and all that kind of stuff. But give us insight into your closed beta, what that involves, and you know, what's happening there.
Yeah, for sure. So just to preface this, for the past 6 months, there's been very active community members trying to earn our highest role within the community, which is the Carolina Reaper. And the reason why they've been trying to earn that role is because we're offering closed beta access only to the Carolina Reapers. So right now we have about 25 people testing the decks and earning incentives, and they're the only ones that are able to earn those incentives right now. So it's been very rewarding for them to kind of align early and participate early to get in on the closed beta, because this is where it's easiest to earn a large share in the protocol. The reason why it's easy to earn a large share in the protocol right now is because there's three separate incentive streams throughout the closed beta. The first is trading incentives, which pay out OPEP on an epoch basis. So that's every 2 weeks. And it's starting at 1 million OPEP in this first epoch, which represents 1 million underlying PEP, right? That you can buy at a discount. 1 million PEP is 1% of the supply. So right now you have a very small amount of people that are very dedicated to increasing the quality of the decks by providing their feedback and testing it. And we want to reward them for being early. So that's why we're distributing basically 1% of the supply to those folks, right? Also, there's the weekly lottery. Weekly lottery is paying out 10,000 OPEP per week, and that just goes to any lucky member that put volume through the exchange on that week. The idea for the weekly lottery is just to incentivize the folks that don't have very large portfolios and a lot of money to throw around in the decks. If they show up and trade even $10 of volume, they could still earn a substantial amount of OPEP, and that might help them kickstart their portfolio. The third incentive is the beta feedback incentive. So that's just, you open a support ticket within the Discord, within the closed beta section, and that starts your dialogue with our devs, and you can start giving them feedback throughout the course of the beta. And based on how effective your feedback has been, you will be rewarded. So for each kind of suggestion you make, it will be ranked as like a tier one, tier two, or tier three piece of feedback. And you'll be compensated more for the tier ones, less for the tier twos, less for the tier threes, right? So that just offers another way for people to participate. Even if they don't have a lot of funds, they can still trade with a small amount and give their feedback. So there is three revenue streams, just to sum that up, three incentive streams. And there's a very small amount of people that are allowed to be participating in those streams right now, which means very concentrated rewards for those people. So we are going to continue to allow people to earn the Carolina Reaper status and continue to bring more people into the closed beta. So you'll want to show up, join the Discord, and start participating in the contests. We have a quiz tomorrow hosted by our mods, and we're going to continue to roll out more contests to allow more people to kind of come in and start earning those incentives.
Cool. So, I mean, it basically does come down to individuals having to put that effort in, and rightfully so. It's like you put in the effort and you participate. We all know that one of the single most important aspects of any project, protocol, within the space is obviously community involvement and, more importantly, community loyalty. And I think that's obviously what you guys are looking to achieve here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. I think it's rewarding to become like part of a small piece of the community that has worked hard to get where they are and is willing to show up day in and day out and try to improve the experience that the DEX offers. And we definitely want to reward those users because those are the people that are going to stick around and kind of does a lot of our marketing for us in a sense, right? If you're good to the people that are closest to the product, that speaks volumes elsewhere.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge is obviously, you know, around the product itself and getting a product that obviously delivers on what it says on the tin. You know, it's pointless, like, you know, saying that you want to do X and you don't really test it and put it through the trials and tribulations. So I think the interesting part about this is how are you guys approaching the almost like the, like getting the kinks out of the armor and kind of like figuring out, you know, the best flows, the best UI, the best UX. Is that something that you guys have worked on quite extensively beforehand, or are you relying on this community participation to eventually land up with, you know, the end product? Or do you feel that the product is pretty much at its end at the moment?
Definitely do not feel like the product as a whole is at its end at the moment. I think the UI has gotten like some very positive reception. I think it's flowing quite well. Obviously, when you release a beta, it's a little clunky, it's a little slower, but that's being improved every day. And definitely relying on the community feedback to get that aspect of the DEX to where it needs to be. But from a product perspective and a feature perspective, we are offering like the bare bones in the beta. So it's basically just, I think there's 5 or 6 pairs on there that you can trade. And you're not trading like the DGen ZDFs with 100x leverage yet. Like that is coming later on because we want to make sure that the experience at a very simple level is easy, intuitive, and just frictionless, right? So that's kind of the part that we're trying to hammer right now. And then we will slowly introduce more and more of the features throughout the closed beta and into the open beta and rely on the feedback of the community to make sure those features are integrated in the best way possible. Because you don't really know how the community is going to feel about a certain features integration until you get their feedback, right? Like, of course, like we're going to integrate it in the UI in the best way that we think, but then if we have a bunch of people saying like, oh, it would be better if this worked like this, you know, I could put in an order like this, then we're going to listen to that, right? Because that's what's gotten us this far. That's what's evolved our token model and our brand and our growth strategies so far, is that we've listened to our community and been very receptive to the feedback. So we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, I think that's in many ways the secret to the sauce is obviously recognizing the role that your community has to play and then almost giving them the responsibility of giving you the answers that you need. And clearly that's what you guys are doing. So good on you for doing that. And it'll be really interesting to see the product obviously when it's kind of like launched and it's out there in the wilderness. So yeah, good luck on that side of things. I wanted to just kind of like finish things off around the start of my question was, in terms of your roadmap, when are you guys anticipating a token generation event? Is it something that's been determined, or is there a rough guideline, or is it
something open-ended? Yeah, I would say a rough guideline. There's no hard date. I would say mid-summer is probably realistic for that. We want to roll out more products for the DEX and then hopefully have the staking go live at the same time as the token, because you want to offer basically an option other than selling the token, right? That's something that kind of always dumbfounds me, is that projects will go and launch a token without any utility. Like you said, like they'll just have governance out of the gate, and they won't even have staking, and like they might have plans to release staking later, but it's like, why did you release the token now if there's no utility for the token now? You know what I mean? So want to build out that utility for the token, have like the staking ready, all the reward systems ready, and then release the token into that, so that there's like a gamified way to participate with the token out of the gate.
Yeah, that's the sound way to do it. I'm not a fan of token being released just off the back of trying to raise money or whatever the case might be. I don't think it's genuine a lot of the time. I mean, I'm not saying that all projects aren't genuine that do that. A lot of them are. And at the same time, there's also a lot that aren't.
Right. It's hard to separate the vaporware from actual products. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So once again, I think that's definitely a feather in your cap. Yeah. You are approaching it from that perspective, and long may you hold on to that value, because I think that will earn you guys a lot of credibility in the market, and more importantly the long-term sustainability through that credibility. Right. So I think that pretty much covers what I wanted to chat to you about. I mean, I'm sure we'll chat again.
There's definitely a couple more things that I could go on and on about, but then we'd be here another hour. I wanted
to just quickly, in terms of your final question, I promise.
I could be here all
day. Are you guys gonna do like a liquid bootstrapping event, or are you just gonna have an outright generation event? How does that event essentially look like
for you? Right. So we're planning on going through Armada and using their LBC, which is a liquidity bootstrapping curve. So if you're familiar with the LBP on Fjord Foundry, it's kind of the same thing, but it's a one-way curve instead of a two-way pool. So you can't sell back into the pool during the auction. You have to wait until the actual TGE, which should just come at the end of the auction or very soon after.
Okay, cool.
You guys will hear a lot more about that auction and TGE once we get closer to that. For now, let's like focus on the closed beta, getting our users in, getting that feedback integrated, and making people understand kind of the perks of showing up early. I think that's the hardest part for us right now, is making people understand just how large our incentives are.
Cool. Thank you, sir, for your time. I appreciate it. And also, there's a lot to obviously unpack in terms of what it is that you guys are doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said it a couple of times, it's not just another Perps DEX. There's a lot going on here. And good luck with your closed beta. We might actually have something to contribute to the closed beta in terms of I'm not going to give anything much out, but we might have something to contribute to our community and to what it is that we're doing. So to anyone who's listening, just be aware that we might be doing something with Pepper DEX down the line that will benefit our community and will be a lot of fun. So thank you, sir, for that as well, for that opportunity. And we'll chat again, I'm sure. And all the best, and thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate your time.
And to all of you who are listening, please like and subscribe. Really appreciate that. Take it easy.